إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, we continue with the remainder of yesterday, which is the purpose of ibadah. And yesterday I mentioned to you the issue of salah, that the purpose of salah is not only to improve the quality of salah for itself, but to improve the quality of salah in order to improve the quality of our life. And the quality of life is not measured by material things, it is not measured by how much luxury we have, it is not measured by how much material stuff we have or by how we, within quotes, enjoy ourselves. But the quality of life is measured by how much we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The best quality of life is the one that pleases Allah the best. Because if we apply our standards today, in terms of quality of life, to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what do you say about the quality of life of somebody who went hungry for most of the time? Somebody who did not have a, within quotes, decent bed to sleep on? Somebody who, when he got up from his bed once, from the mat that he was lying on, the impression of the mat was on his back, which means there wasn't even a sheet on that mat. What do you say about the quality of life of somebody whose clothes used to have patches on them because there was a hole and then they had to put a piece of cloth too? So what is that? How do you measure that quality of life compared to what we consider to be the criteria of quality of life today? Is that a good quality of life or a lousy quality of life? But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose quality of life is the best in all of creation? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the basis? We have to understand, the basis of quality of life is not what we have made for ourselves thanks to our living, you know, as ibadun nafs. May Allah save us, we are not ibadullah, we are ibadun nufus. We are the slaves of our own nafs. Quality of life depends on how it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the quality of salah must improve in order to improve the quality of life. What does salah give us? Yesterday, as we mentioned, what does salah give us? Salah gives us the awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is watching. Salah gives us the awareness, and because of that awareness, salah keeps us away from fahushat and munkarat. Today, let us look at the other weak ibadah that we have, which is fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ For what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah said, fasting has been prescribed for you, upon you, like it was prescribed for those before you, so that you become muttaqoon. Not so that you are hungry, not so that you know what the poor man feels when he doesn't have a meal. People have all these vague ideas. Not so that you lose some weight. No. Fasting is prescribed on you so that you develop taqwa. There are several lectures of mine on fasting, so I won't go into the detail of it. But the effect, the bottom line of fasting is what? Fasting tells us to keep away from haram or halal. Halal. Ajib. Fasting tells us to keep away from halal. What is normally halal, which is eating halal food, drinking halal drink, being with your wife or husband. Fasting tells us to keep away from this. For what reason? Only because it pleases Allah. No other reason. There is no logical reason. There is no scientific reason. There is no health related reason. There is no nothing related reason. Why I must not eat, why I must not drink, and why I must not be with my wife or husband. There is absolutely no logic, zero logic, in terms of our logic. But what is the biggest logic? Please understand, this is not illogical. This is the essence of logic. The essence of logic is we do what pleases our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Khalas. That is logic. That is not illogical. That is the essence of logic. Why must I keep away? Because to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of that taqwa? Taqwa. Fasting teaches us to keep away from even halal if it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about keeping away from haram? It's a no-brainer. I mean, what displeases Allah, what angers Allah? Why must we even discuss that? Why must we even remind ourselves of that? Hey, that's nonsense. You know, nobody will tell you, for example, if I tell you, if I advise you and I say, you know, please, when you leave your house, don't come out of the house naked. You will say, what nonsense is that? What do you mean, don't come? What advice is this? Stupid advice? No, 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 it's not stupid. Very good advice. Because imagine what will happen if you come out naked, blah, blah, blah. You say, you're mad. I mean, why would I come out naked? This is idiotic advice. This advice is complete nonsense. Because why would I do that? I mean, it's a completely insensitive, I mean, a completely crazy thing. I would never do that. So don't give me stupid advice. This is what you would tell me, and quite correctly. So if I tell you, keep away, if I tell a Muslim, keep away from haram, you must really tell me this is nonsensical advice. Don't give me the stupid advice. Because why would I go into haram anyway? So don't tell me to keep away from haram because I'm a Muslim. This is what you should tell me. Logic, I'm saying. So fasting is for what? Is to remember. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Hadith of Qudsi, he said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. See the beauty of this. Allah did not say, for the fast I will give the person Jannah, for if he fasts I will give him this. No, Allah said, fast is for me and I will reward it. Allah did not say what he will reward. Allah did not say how he will reward. Imagine, just one fast. And Allah did not say this is for the fasting of Ramadan. He did not say this is for the fasting of Ashura. He did not. Fasting is for me. One fast. Nafil fast. Any time of the year. Allah said this is for me. And I will reward it. Why? Because the person is keeping away from even halal. For what reason? Only to please Allah. Who knows if you are fasting or not? Nobody. Except maybe your immediate family who are in your house. Other than that, nobody knows if you are fasting or not. And today, alhamdulillah, we live in a lifestyle where the effect of fasting doesn't even show on our face. I mean, supposing you were fasting and then you were working, you know, manual labor all day, then maybe you can see the effect of the fasting on our faces. Today, we don't even feel the fast. And now, like winter, it's like the fast is maybe, if you fast today, it's maybe 12 hours or, you know, 13, 14 hours. It goes. I mean, before you can imagine, it's time for iftar. It is so easy. But Allah did not say, I will reward the fast which is in the heat of summer when you are fasting for 17 hours. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fast is for me. And I will reward it myself. Ana ajzi bihi. Because it brings taqwa. La'allakum tattaqun. So what is the purpose of fasting? Do we fast for the sake of fasting? No, we fast for taqwa. So again, like for salah, we said, what is the measurement, the meter of salah? Is my salah good or not? How do I know? By looking at what I do outside the masjid. Outside the masjid means outside the salah. I mean, whether it's inside the masjid or outside the masjid. How do I know if my salah is good or not? By looking at what I do outside my salah. What I do after I say, salamu alaikum, after that what happens? That will show me the quality of my salah. So what will show me the quality of my fasting? How do I know my fast has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I know my quality of fasting is good? By what I do after my iftar. What I do outside my fasting. Do I hold my tongue? Do I not curse and this and that and no ghibat and so on until iftar and then immediately after iftar my social life starts? No. If my fasting cannot prevent me from doing the disobedience of Allah, then what does it say about the quality of that fasting? Is that fasting achieving the purpose for which it was ordained? No. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us evaluate our ibadat. Let us make sure that our ibadat are achieving the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them to us. These are the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadah is not a burden. Anyone who thinks the ibadat of whichever kind of ibadat that it's a burden, he has not understood the whole point of ibadat. The ibadat is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way of connecting with Allah. It's a way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way of reaching Him. It's a way of getting rewards from Him that we cannot even imagine. How can we imagine this? You know, Allah said, I will reward the fast. How can we imagine what is that reward? It will be in keeping with His majesty and grace. Alhamdulillah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do this. I remind myself and you, let us focus on the purpose of ibadah, which is to develop taqwa. A sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our lives, which gives us comfort and so on. We'll talk about taqwa tomorrow. A sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our lives, a sense of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just this morning, before I came down for Salah, I got a message from a friend of mine in Nagpur saying, his relative, he said he felt some pain in the chest, and an hour later, he was gone. He said, please make dua for his maghfirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the brother, to fill his qabr with noor, to grant him jannat al-firdaus al-a'la bi ghayri hisab, inshallah, and to help us to remember that one day somebody else will say this about us. Alhamdulillah, that's a good death. If the man felt a pain in his chest and inshallah, maybe he made tawbah, we ask Allah to forgive him whether he made tawbah or not. And then he just died an hour later. Alhamdulillah, he didn't suffer in some hospital. They weren't cutting him and, you know, doing all kinds of things to him. So this is a good death. Alhamdulillah, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when our time comes to take us easily with full health and with full iman and yaqeen and give us the kalima to recite as the last thing that we speak and to accept us in his presence. Bighayri hisab, inshallah. And we ask the same for this brother who passed away. May Allah bless him. But I'm saying that this reality that we can go at any point in time, how many times are we reminded about this? Wallahi. How many times? I mean, this same masjid, our own people we knew, we used to pray next to them, we knew them, we sat and ate futur with them, so many things with them. Today we remember them one by one by one. How many of them gone? In these last 3-4 years, how many people have gone? How many people did we make dua? They didn't die in India. They died wherever else, but we made dua for them here because they are related to us. We know them, friends, so on, and we made dua for them. How many people? Now, how many reminders do I want? The reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave us in the dark. He reminds us, you have to come. Let us prepare ourselves, inshallah, so that when the time to come arrives, then we go, alhamdulillah, with a lot of happiness, with a lot of expectation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, because he is Arhamur Rahimeen. He is the one who, there's no one more merciful than him. He is Ghafurur Rahim. No one forgives like him because there is nothing that he does not forgive. He introduced himself by saying, Qabilu Tawb wa Ghafiru Dham. He said, I am the one who accepts Tawbah. I am the one who forgives sins. He introduced himself. In the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he introduced himself, and we ask him in the name of his own introduction, we ask him in the name of his asma wa sifat to forgive us and to save us from his anger and to enable us to do only that which is pleasing to him and to save us from everything that displeases him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.